Good morning, everyone. It's not very often that I get to complain about somebody being up here in the pulpit too long. We do from time to time have problems with the monitor in the back of the auditorium flashing, and I thought that was just a perfect opportunity to let Joe know that that's the new signal for the announcements are supposed to be over, so you quit cutting into the preacher's sermon time. It's good to be with you all this morning, and appreciate the presence of each and every one of you and the time that we're able to spend together in worship of our God and our Creator. We come together on the first day of the week to remember our Lord's death. We've entered into a time of the year, though, where people are remembering not just his death, but they're remembering his birth. And as I've said in the past, is there an improper time, is there ever a wrong time to talk about our Savior? Whether it be about his birth, whether it be about his death, resurrection, there's never a wrong time. For the next few weeks, Sunday mornings at least, what we're going to be addressing is we're going to be addressing some things. We're going to be talking about some names of Jesus that are found within the Scripture. And all of them, because everybody right now, it seems worldwide at least, a great majority of people, are thinking about Christ in different ways. And we're going to look at some of the ways Scripture describes him. And so we're going to look this morning at Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, and we're going to look at one phrase that's used there, and it's the one word, wonderful. And I want us to keep in mind that you think about it for just a moment. Romeo and Juliet, in the play there, Shakespeare wrote, Juliet said, "What is a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet." There are several names that are referred to Jesus Christ and the things that he would do, the things that he would become within the Scripture. And this one word, wonderful, stands out to me as the first word that used to describe the coming of a Savior into the world in chapter 9 and verse 6. It is a word that when you think of it, you'd break the word apart, wonder, and then full, and you flip it around, you take that prefix, we should be full of wonder. When we think about our Savior and we think about what he has done, our lives should be full of wonder and amazement. So this morning, we're going to talk about him. Think about this for just a second now. We sing songs in our songbook that talk about the wonderful story of love. We talk about wonderful grace of Jesus. We think about amazing, we stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Why is that? Because the Son of God, when he came into this world, amazed the world. There were those who rejected him, yes, obviously, but those who truly looked at him as what was prophesied in the Old Testament, those things that he would fulfill. Because if you remember, he came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. And this word, wonderful, helps describe some of the things that he did while he was alive. So, is life wonderful for you because Jesus Christ is wonderful? I'm afraid that all too often in our lives, we look at our lives as ho-hum, somewhat humdrum. We feel that we have dull lives and there's no excitement to it at all. And there are individuals in the world that are truly thrill seekers. But you know what happens when they experience that one moment, a thrilling moment? It fades. It disappears. I think about this. The fact that Jesus' name is wonderful should take care of all the dullness of life for everybody around, but it's just not the case, is it? I think of this and think about what you see there in Psalm chapter 77 and verse 14 on the screen. You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples. We mentioned in the Bible class this morning the fact that Man has a desire for something greater than himself, to seek and find something greater for himself. And the fact is that Scripture defines for us and provides us that information that points us directly toward God and toward His Son. You are the God who does wonders. And the greatest wonder of all was sending into this world His Son, His only begotten Son, who the prophet Isaiah begins by describing Him as wonderful. For just a moment, think about this boredom that affects our lives and what we endure in our own lives. And one man by the name of Bertrand Russell claimed that at least half of the sins of mankind were caused by the fear of boredom. No wonder in our lives. And we're surrounded by constant change. The modern technology, the modern science, we are in the midst of progress all the time. But we're also in the midst of a population explosion, but people are dying from boredom. Maybe not literally dying, but in their own minds, that's how they express it. Dying from boredom because of a dull life. But I think about children too. When I hear this word wonderful, I think about the little children that sit out in the fields like this right here, and just among the flowers that are popping up, we might call weeds. But they look at these things and they're in amazement. They're amazed because they can look at that little butterfly that's resting on that flower and just be in awe of everything around it. Now, I'm not as well traveled as some. I tend to take more what's called virtual vacations, go online and get to visit different parts of the world and through pictures that everybody else has put on there for viewing. And I've got to see different parts of God's creation and look at it. I have been to the Rocky Mountains. I've been to the Atlantic Ocean. I've been to the Gulf of Mexico. I've seen some great things that God has created. And every time I see them, it's almost like I revert back to childhood. My mouth drops open and I just can't believe the beauty of what God has done with His hands and His words. But I think about the contentment of a child and the wonder that he has. And then I hear the words of Jesus telling us that assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children. Part of that conversion is that wonder. It's not just simply being the obedient child and the innocence of the child, but there's that sense of wonder. And it's looking at Jesus Christ as being wonderful. And I think about those and go back to that dull life that many people just are complaining about. And maybe it's because the novelty of the things that they have sought has worn off and they haven't truly sought out Him whose name is wonderful. And so obviously, something is wrong in their lives. I want you to take into consideration that there is a difference really between wonder and novelty. There is something, because when you ask the question, what is wonder? It is just that. It is that astonishment. It's simply being amazed by what's surrounding you. And you think about the story of creation that we have in Scripture, the stories of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the promises that came through them that were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The prophecies of Christ Himself in the Old Testament that pointed us to the New Testament where He revealed Himself to us. Some were surprised, but they did not truly stand in awe, because wonder isn't just some passing wave of emotion. We all get that, don't we? We get excited about football games. We get excited when people score touchdowns or there's a slam dunk in a basketball game and we stand up and shout. But you know, that all passes. But if the Son of God is in your life will be full of wonder and amazement at what He was willing to do on your behalf. See, this type of wonder isn't simply cheap amusement. It's not entertainment that a lot of people seek. Wonder is not based in ignorance, because believe me, when we talk about Jesus Christ, what we're looking at are facts. The Scripture reveals to us about His birth, about His life, about His death, burial, and resurrection. And we are in awe of the power of God when we look at these things, and because His name is wonderful. See, the more we know, the more we wonder. You think about that. It's not just simply sitting there contemplating who Jesus Christ is. It's being amazed at His teachings. It's being amazed at His miracles. It's being amazed that someone was willing to come into this world and die for us. It's founded upon inquisitive and intelligent attitude toward reality. And for us, it's the reality that we could do nothing to save ourselves, but we needed a Savior. It's that reality that when we think of wonder, what it does, it creates in us this attitude of humility and knowing that, yes, I could not have done anything for myself, but the One whose name is Wonderful has come into this world and shed His blood for me. It creates this attitude of humility of how small we are in the grand scope of things and in all of creation. It says, the psalmist says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? Isn't it wonderful that to be thought of by God? When you think that in the blink of an eye, everything that we know now could be gone? No, I think it's wonderful because I have the sun, I have the moon and the stars, I have the creation to gaze upon that point me to Him. And it creates this attitude in me that when I stand alone out there in this great big creation, I'm just a small speck. But there is God who loved us enough to send His Son into this world. When I think that all things were created by Him, it brings forth wonder in our minds. It's amazing to view the heavens. Why? Because He created them. He is our Creator, and His name is Wonderful. But man tries to substitute for wonder in their lives. I sometimes ask the question, why is there so little wonder in the world today? And I don't know what people are so disappointed in, but there seems to be a disappointment in the world that God has created. And sometimes I wonder if this disappointment is the fact that there's poverty that is in existence, that there is sickness, that there is evil that is in existence, that people disappoint people in general, that the good seem to suffer and the bad always seem to have their way however they want it. Maybe those are attitudes that are prevalent, but what's taking place is they've taken their eye off of the One whose name is Wonderful. They're looking only a small portion of the big picture. And we forget that we don't need to substitute things for Jesus Christ. Because people have tried to manufacture experiences to rescue them from tedious existence. Each experience must be greater than the one before it. And when you exist on artificial stimulants, and I'm not talking about chemical stimulants, I'm just talking about the rush of adrenaline that people are seeking. When you simply exist on that, you eventually lose the ability to recognize and enjoy what is real in life, what is meaningful in life. And so we're fortunate that when we open our Bibles, that we get to see and experience the wonder of Jesus Christ. We get to ask the question, why is Jesus Christ wonderful? Because let me suggest this to you. He is wonderful simply in His person. Now think about the time of His birth. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 18, all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And think about what the shepherds saw when they were out in their field and waiting and being told that this child was to be born. And that they would seek Him out. But this news of who the one whose name is wonderful would ring out through all of the land. And people would just simply marvel at those things. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Yes, Jesus Christ came into this world. Yes, He was born just as the Scripture proclaimed that He would be in the city of David. Yes, He was born of a virgin just as the Scriptures had stated. We're looking at biblical account facts that point us that way. And it makes us understand that He is wonderful in His person. Understanding that whatever He did in life was wonderful here on this earth. That whoever He touched, whatever He touched, He blessed. He longed for people to open their hearts to Him. He longed for them to see Him with their eyes, to see the world around them. He used things in the Sermon on the Mount, like the lilies of the field or the sparrows, to get people to open up their eyes at the wonder of creation, but not just that, the wonders of God. He used little children to tell us the type of hearts that we had to have. And not only did he do that, He would be wonderful in the miracles that He would perform. Consider this. He transformed the lives of the blind and the lame. In Matthew chapter 4, if you turn there in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 4, this one whose name is wonderful, people recognized the wonder in Him, and they could not bring people to Jesus fast enough. You think about Him reaching the pinnacle of His popularity at the end of Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 23. Where it says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases among the people. His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to Him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and He healed them." You look at the remainder in verse 25, great multitudes followed Him wherever He went. Why? Because of the wonder that they saw, that they experienced, and He whose name is wonderful. I look at this and know that Christ was wonderful in everything He did because He transformed lives. His teachings were remarkable. At the end of Matthew chapter 7, if you look there for just a moment, what you begin seeing and understanding is after the Sermon on the Mount, people were in awe of His teaching. Because in verse 28 it says, "And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at His teaching, for He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." His teachings would take and turn little seeds into sermons. He would take and talk about a mustard seed and relate it to the kingdom of God. He would talk about seed that was being sown by men and it being the gospel. The teachings of Jesus Christ were just as wonderful as the miracles, because what we know in the teachings of Jesus Christ is that the words that He spoke were not of His own, they came from the Father. We also know that when we look at John chapter 12, and we look at the things that Jesus said will judge us in the end, He also said that the commands of God were eternal life. That's wonderful when we think about the things that He taught in His life. The parable of the sower in Matthew 13 and Luke chapter 8. What's wonderful is that the seed is sown everywhere. What's wonderful is that there are people that are going to hear it, and there are going to be people that will ultimately receive it to salvation for their souls. Because that gospel is Jesus Christ, and His name is wonderful. Why is Jesus Christ wonderful? Because everything about Him, His birth, the life that He lived, His words were all wonderful. You see, John chapter 8 and verse 46, Jesus Christ lived that perfect life. He was without sin, and yet when people try to come and condemn Him, what did He say? Which of you convicts me of sin? No one could. You think about Luke chapter 4 and verse 22. So all bore witness to Him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of His mouth. Think about this. The gracious words that proceeded out of His mouth. That sounds a little bit opposite of what you might have heard in Matthew chapter 23. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. But those were gracious words, in that they were trying to get those individuals to change from the teachings that they were practicing, the things that they had practiced in life. I think about John chapter 8 and verse 26, where He says, I speak to the world those things which I heard from Him. Those gracious words, those words of wisdom that come from above, they were not His own. I also go back to John chapter 6 and verse 63, and I think about the time where Jesus' popularity all of a sudden takes a turn, where people start departing from Him. But He says it this way, because Peter is going to ask Him, who can we go to? For You have the words of eternal life. But He says right here, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are Spirit and they are life. Think about that for a moment. Other ways that Jesus has been described in the Scripture: He is the water of life. He is the bread of life. All of those words that describe Him bring life to us who heed them. Because His name is wonderful. The wonder of His death. Yeah, we can celebrate like the angels did when Christ was born, but we really celebrate His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Why? Because it is there that He was ultimately proven to be the Son of God. Otherwise, had He not come forth from that grave, He would have been just like everybody else. His name would not have been wonderful. I want you to consider that for just a moment. That when we think about Him, and we think about the world in which we live, the wonder of His death, because He was willing to die. You know, we constantly read John 3:16, and people quote that everywhere around the world, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But you know what? That Son didn't have to come. He could have said no. But you look at Philippians chapter 2. And beginning at verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He was willing to die for you and me. Why is His name wonderful? Because of the sacrifice that He gave for us. Why is His name wonderful? Because you go back to Isaiah chapter 53 and you see that He bore our sorrows. He bore our griefs. He bore our sins. He was that lamb that was led to the slaughter. He was the one who sacrificed Himself on that cross. When Ron prayed about the bread this morning, he talked about Him hanging on that tree. He hung there for you, for me, for everyone else. When the nails pierced His hands, when the spear went through His side to confirm His death, He died just like any other man would die. And we stand amazed in His presence, not simply because He died, but because of what happened 3 days later. He was raised from the dead, victorious over death. All four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, record the resurrection. They do not all record His birth. It doesn't mean the birth was insignificant, because without the birth, we don't have the death. I understand that. But what truly makes the name of Jesus wonderful is this fact right here. That He died and did something that no other man has done. Well, you say, wait a minute, Lazarus came from the dead. No, Lazarus died again. Jesus Christ is still alive today. He rose never to die. And He is sitting at the right hand of God. He's been given all power, all authority over all things in heaven and in earth. And therefore, His name is wonderful. So I want to ask you this morning, do we need wonder in our lives? Absolutely. There's no doubt about it that we do. Because without it, we're going to miss what God has prepared for us. Without Jesus Christ being in our lives, we're not going to grasp the things that He's prepared. We'll be like those who Jesus condemned, saying, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I shall heal them. There are those that do not have wonder and simply do not want that wonder in their lives. But we need it. We need that wonder in our lives because wonder is important to us. Unless I know something of the wonder of Jesus Christ, I will not come to Him as counselor in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. I will not seek Him for any spiritual essential in my life whatsoever if I do not look at Him as wonderful. Because you see, when I look at Him that way, when we look at Him that way, that wonder leads to worship. That wonder leads to growth as a child of God. That wonder has led me to the forgiveness of sins because of that great sacrifice. That wonder brings a transformation in life because we know that His name is wonderful. And it brings us to that point where Christ lives in us. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. That's when we truly appreciate the one whose name is wonderful. You see, the hope of Jesus Christ in us is that He is, the wonder of Jesus in us is that He is our hope. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Yeah. When wonder enters into your life, things change. When wonder comes, you become obedient to His will. When wonder is there, there's no substitute then for the fellowship that you have with God and His Son and in His Word. There's no substitute for daily prayer. There's no substitute for your daily walk with Him. All because this wonder calls us to a life of faith and a life of love. Oh, the wonder, the life, this life of wonder with the One who is wonderful ends in eternal wonder. Now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we will know that He is, or when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We look forward. Here's the other thing too about what makes Him wonderful. It's not that He just came into this world once, but He's also going to return for the faithful. He's going to come and take us back to where He is so that we can live eternally with Him and the Father. See, little things can become big things when they are touched by the wonder of Christ. Our lives, when they are touched by the blood of Jesus Christ, can be cleansed from our sins. Our lives can improve when we can demonstrate God living in us. We can demonstrate our faith to Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we will also demonstrate the love for one another as ourselves. Because when He's there, Jesus can make your wife wonderful because His name is wonderful. Take out your songbooks. The song we're about to sing is a song of encouragement to those who have never obeyed the gospel. I am resolved. The One whose name is wonderful is the One who's extended the invitation. Come unto Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's His invitation. He wants to be in your life. He wants you to live your life with Him and for Him. But do you believe that He is wonderful? That He died for your sins? That He can cleanse you from all unrighteousness? Then if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, act in that faith. Repent of those sins, confess Him before men, be baptized for the remission of your sins. Rise up to walk in newness of life and be faithful till you die. Because just like we said, a life with He who is wonderful will also end in wonder. Eternal life. We want to assist you in your soul salvation. Won't you come this morning as together we stand and as we sing.